So tonight, I love that song that Denisa shared so much. The first time I heard that, it just like brings tears to your eyes because it's so beautiful. And that is a song that I feel like rushes you to the presence of God, rushes you to be at his feet, and rushes you to want to just praise him for who he is. But the beauty of that song is that it says the truth about how God will receive us back. Tonight, what I have to talk about is the hard part about what happens before you get in a place where you have to be brought back. And I'm talking about obedience. If you kind of inverse that, it would be disobedience. It's not fun. It's a part that everybody, when they have their baby, and it's so cute and cuddly and coochie-coochie and so great, and you'll see this as you go through in this week. I had my own moment with Brooke where I was like, she's a sinner. What? What are you talking about? How could she? No, you know, and it's just, it's funny. And I think I'll read it to you right now just so you can kind of get the gist, because if you read it and you don't have my voice, you'll kind of be like, What's she talking about? And what is that? You know, is that kind of dramatic or what? But it is dramatic, but it's my story, so whatever. It's just my story. I came from a family, my dad and my mom were both teachers, and so they went to school at a time when, here it is. They went to school in the late 50s. It was at that time when the education system was really taking a turn for secular humanism. And one of the foundations of secular humanism is that if you are stepping away from God, then you're going to take on your own personal responsibility. And so that means, of course, we don't want to look at ourselves like we're bad. So teachers were and still are to this day being taught that from the premise that man is basically good, not that man is basically bad. Tonight, what we're going to discover, and what many of you already know, especially if you've already read Genesis 1 through 11, is that no, man is not born basically good. Man is born into sin, and that is the actual truth. And Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And the reason why obedience matters is because in John 14, he said, if you love me, you will obey me. And so it's one of the tenets of the Christian faith to understand that you have to be lock arm with Jesus in obedience. And it doesn't mean you're going to do it every time, but it means that that does need to be our intention. And that just passes right on down to the expectation for your family and for your children. So let me just read you this little thing called My Awakening. And it's in day 3 of your notebook if you have it. But I'll just read it so you'll have my little twist voice on it to make you laugh midweek. She was born perfectly beautiful. She captured my heart with her first cry perfectly. To feel her heartbeat next to mine was sheer joy. My life was forever changed by this love that came from a faraway place. It certainly was not a love I'd ever experienced before, the love for a mother and her child. It was rich. It was delightful. It was perfect. Each hour, each day, each new experience with this precious, precious child, she was, in my mind, perfect. A year went by, and then a couple of months more, and something happened. Something was not right. She was not acting like she normally would. She was not oohing and awing with delight any longer. She must have been sick. Something was the matter with my little girl. So what would I do? Almost immediately, I would call Brett. He would know what to do. He was always the one who would come up with the answer, and he would settle things. He would help me fix the trouble. I added up all the information and gave it to him, not withholding any details. He needed to know everything so that he could make a proper diagnosis. He responded with an answer that I was not expecting. What he would say would leave me mystified. Deb, she is perfectly normal. No, you don't understand, I said to the children's pastor, who had overseen hundreds of babies and youth by this time, as though my opinion in the matter would alter human nature. She's perfect. Deb, what'd you think? That you gave birth to Jesus or something? Kind of, was my honest reply. Well, hon, I hate to say it, but you're raising a little sinner. That's the problem. And he lightheartedly laughed. Shock, dismay, disbelief. That was my awakening. I had not birthed the latest Messiah. My adorable and beautiful little baby was simply growing into her sin nature. My reaction was compassionate towards what I thought was a bad toothache, but would have to be dealt with appropriately, all in good time. So that's the gist of me and my rude awakening to the fact that, bummer, my parents were wrong. People are not born basically good. People are actually born bad. It's just a matter of waiting for it to unfold, right? And for some of you, that will happen earlier. Brooke was very advanced in her words. She had so many words by the time Joey was born, which was at 16 and a half months, that there was just no question that she understood yes, no, right, wrong, do this, don't do this. So that's a hard thing for you to wrap your minds around when you're young mamas. When you get to be a little bit older, usually what happens is you have two things, either complete relief because you did the right thing and started out early in terms of administering discipline and really helping to curb and get boundaries into your home, or else you have extreme angst from not doing enough and you're gonna pay for it pretty much for the rest of your life. And I don't know that there's a mom around that pulled every single weed of sin from their child, you know, but our job as parents is to see these beautiful, wonderful children, see the gifts that God's given them, and see the rough edges and try to polish those things out. And if there's weeds, you know, for sin, not smoking weed, weeds like Paul, you know, weeds of sin, you've got to try to nip those things in the bud because the roots get deeper. Or if it's a different type of root, if I don't know how much you guys have studied with grass and all this kind of stuff, there's different root systems. So with grass, the root systems spread this way. And with carrots, for instance, carrots are an actual root. That's a tap root. It gets deeper, bigger, deeper, deeper, deeper the longer you go. And we have that within ourselves. Different skin cancers I've had, all three. I'm a three-time winner of skin cancer. So there's some kinds that spreads a lot. That's a squamous. I had that one right up here. Mohs. Good. You leave that place cancer-free. I'm glad. She cut out all of the sin, if you want to call it that, okay? We want that gone. It will kill me. I want it out. I had another one, basal cell. That's like a carrot. It gets deep. We're going to take that out all the way. Wait until those markers are done. If it's not all the way cut out, you got to go back in and cut it out again. Same with basal cell. If you have basal cell or melanoma, melanoma will go all over and metastasize. You certainly want to catch that. And thankfully, praise God, they did in all three situations. But God used that with my physical health to just confirm to me that the tenacity and the persistency that I spent on my children in raising them, in trying to make sure that every single nook and cranny was checked, was very worth it. Very, very worth it. Because what I can see physically in my body that would come in the form of cancer would be something that if you look at cancer as sin in spiritual terms, you want it out. You don't want to have anything to do with that. You want it out, 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 out. Get as much as you can, get it out. And it really ties in when you start reading through the Old Testament and you see how thorough they were about cleaning out all of the leaven. That leaven is a picture of sin. So you see, why are they cleaning this out? Why are you cleaning this out? But if you tie that in to sin and sin nature, it is so amazing as a parent for you to be able to say, this is my attempt. This is how thorough I need to be with making sure that I'm coming behind my kids and helping them understand what clear boundaries are when they've crossed that line, when they haven't, to talk to them about that more and more. So what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight is the origin of sin. Because it's kind of tough if you've grown up in a situation where you think, oh, we're fine. We're totally fine. Everything's good. Just chill out. We're fine. And then all of a sudden you realize, no, we're very much not fine. We're actually, there's a whole nother standard called God's standard. And I'm realizing now, we need to actually, make some adjustments. So in order for you to not feel horribly bad, it is comforting to know that even the very first two humans that were formed by God that had perfect situation of DNA, perfect situation of where they were, you know, brought out of the earth, even they chose sin. And even they were warned and still chose it. So if you want to turn just really fast to Genesis chapter 2, we'll be able to take a look at how thorough God is. So it says in Genesis chapter 2, at the very, very end, he says to Adam, Genesis 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Now, if you turn the page, okay, and you go to chapter 3, so now we have the situation. We'll call it the situation.
It's actually the fall.
And we're going to cover this pretty clear this week. So I don't feel like I need to go through all the nuances because we did that pretty good this week. But I do want us to catch the reason why it's important for us to understand our origin, because when we understand that, it makes it a lot easier for you as a parent to not be emotional about your discipline, no matter what age or category that your kids are. But it also should be challenging for ourselves to recognize, yeah, I'm still a sinner. I'm maybe a grown-up now, or maybe I'm, you know, whatever, you know, mark you've made in life or whatever, but I still am a sinner. And my testimony still matters. There's a few things that are really important about obedience as it comes to us and how it affects our home. But first, let's look at this and see what it is in Genesis 3 we see. So now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, for you will die. You will surely, not surely die," and it goes on. So we know how it goes, all right? She takes the fruit, she eats it, she disobeys. Boom. All right, pretty simple. That act of obedience, it wasn't about grabbing the fruit. It wasn't about the tree. It wasn't about any of that stuff. It was just about disobedience. She disobeyed and she chose a death sentence is what happened. There was a physical manifestation that began, a process that was not the original intention, and that's why it's called the original sin, that it was just like, ugh. So when we see these heartaches in life and when we feel the pain of death and when we have joints that hurt, or if you have, you know, something like, you know, my sweet daughter-in-law, you know, just has joint issues from Crohn's and things like that, this is not the way it was supposed to be, you know. We were supposed to be in a really sweet situation, but all of us have fallen short, the Bible says, all of us. So when you as moms grab a hold of that and see what your origin is, when we can break that down and sort of put that aside and now just talk about what actually happened, it will make things a lot easier, especially with your role as a wife. If you're single here tonight, just know that always, always, always the heart of me and anyone who speaks publicly at Athe, and tons of you who have heard Judy for years, know that the heart of a single woman is just so fully loved by God, and we talk about that. It is really important, however, for us in terms of the family, because the family unit is what's under attack. You as a single mom, if you're listening, you know that more than anyone because you were attacked and now you're in this place of brokenness and it hurts terribly. So really, by and large, most single women will most likely be coming up to me or you saying, yeah, yeah, do whatever it takes to make sure that you salvage your family. So just in looking at this situation, Adam was the one who was told by God. Eve, do we know if it was hearsay? Do we know if they had had a powwow and talked about this? Maybe, maybe not. She kind of misquoted. What was going on there? Either way, the bottom line is, what would have been the better choice? And this is where it's so good for us, not only as wives, but also as moms, to break down, or grandmothers, to break down these stories and go step by step. What was the pattern? What did she do? How could that have been different? You're raising women and men who are hopefully going to follow the Lord. That's our number one goal. That's our number one desire, is to see our children walk with the Lord. So you have to break it down and say, did God say in his word? Okay, what was that? Let's be accurate. Did Eve go talk to Adam? Okay, wonder why she didn't do that. The Bible talks about it, and this week you'll dig into that more. So just keep that in mind as you're doing your homework and as you're, you know, tapping into the notebook and just doing, you know, the things that you got to do to stay in God's word and be looking at this. It's really, really important. Tonight, obedience or disobedience is really important because, like I said before, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. Don't be afraid to talk about that to your kids. Don't be afraid to bring that up to your young children, to bring that up when they're in elementary school, to bring that up in junior high, to bring it up in high school. Because you know what the Bible says? They will know that we are Christians by our love. What's the worst thing? I hate to go back to last week, but the worst thing about what we saw last week was the lack of love that, I know the media has twisted everything, but the lack of love by, like, the Jesus Loves You posters, right? That's the worst thing. We all know it. That's not our heart. We don't want people to misconstrue the love of God for something that could ever be associated with evil. So if that's on a broad, worldwide scope right now, where it's really under the microscope of people, this is our awesome chance to step up to the plate and just try to make sure that every ball gets hit with love. You know what I mean? Okay, we're going to just be loving on this. Okay, kids, come on. Yep, you got sin. Let's deal with it in love. Come on, let's deal with this. Now, the cost part is where it also gets difficult, but you have to back up what you're going to say. You have to. The consequence for Adam and Eve was death. Children, elementary school, junior high, this is your prime age. Once they get to be junior high into high school, that's when you have to start understanding what all your cards are that are left, okay? When the kids are younger, that's when you have, huge amounts of, lots of bargaining chips, lots of stuff you can do. You can do timeouts, although depending on the kid, timeouts are a joke. You can, though, if it's effective, that's great. You could do spanking, although we do really highly advise that you not use your hand. There is a whole, if you can look it up, and on get the podcast or whatever of Pastor Brett, he has a whole Proverbs if you cue it in to the link, and we could actually probably get an extra link set up. Erica can get that for you, but it's a link of some of the greatest teachings that Brett has done on going through Proverbs and discipline and what that actually looks like. It's very controlled. It's very thoughtful. There's none of this screaming. There's none of this crazy stuff at all. We had a definite method. We definitely set our kids aside. We definitely said, here's the expectation. If you do this, mommy will ask you one time. If you cross that, there will be a consequence. And so that is just the language our kids learned. I taught them words that were more than one syllable, forgiveness, consequences. They learned those words early and they grew into that. And they also learned about forgiveness to one another also. There's just all great things that you'll be able to talk about with your group. For tonight though, I want to make sure that we focus on a few things that are really important in the word that encourage us to do the right thing. In Proverbs 14, verse 1, and just go ahead and take these notes down. In Proverbs 14, verse 1, it says that a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman tears hers down. So be encouraged, because when you're doing these things, when you're getting order back in your home, or when you're establishing order, or when you're trying to let your kids know, hey, this is what we're doing, this is the plan, you're establishing your house. Tearing it down would be choosing to sin, which is a real bummer. The other thing that I wanted to point out to you guys, just in the awesome, amazing sovereignty and love of God, is a couple things that we were just talking this week in our family. We have family dinner on Sundays, we try to. And I was talking about some things, and we ended up talking about Jerusalem and just certain things, and Brett was bringing some stuff up, and I think the word red got mentioned. And, you know, I had already done this study and everything, and so I was taking notes for what we were going to talk about tonight, and I thought, oh, I have to tell the ladies this. This is so great. Brooke, out of the blue, just says, oh, yeah, the word for red in Hebrew is Adom. And I was like, Adom? And she said, yeah, that means red. Do-do-do. They keep going. But I'm like, you know how when time stops for you and you're like, wait a minute, whoa, Adam, hang on a second, that's Adam. So if you literally Google what is the word Hebrew for Adam, you know, it means red, and also it means from the earth. So when you get over to the east side, and sometimes here in Oregon too, and in Utah and different places, there's red dirt, right? But isn't it amazing that God took something when he made man, formed him from the ground, and it also was red? That to me is not, that's just not irony. That's God choosing to tell you he knew. He knew, he knew, he knew, he knew, he knew from the very first human ever made. Not the second, not Eve. Eve can't get all the blame on this. God knew, no matter who I make for you, we're still gonna wind up here. We're still gonna wind up needing this blood. It's gonna be really important that we establish that in our relationship, Adam. So I'm gonna name you what it is I'm gonna need. It's a pretty cool thing when you really think about that. God is just so good. So make that be the overreaching theme in your heart as you're going through this week, that you understand that through God's sovereignty, he knew that he knew what he was doing, first of all. He knew when he made you. He knew when he made your family. He knew when he gave you your kids, whatever age they are, if they're walking with the Lord now, if somebody's in prison, if somebody is on drugs, if somebody's doing awesome, if somebody has a pride issue, whatever it is, God knows your situation. And he is there for you, and he has that red for you. He has that blood for you. It's just beautiful. And I don't want us to miss that in breaking down obedience and what those kinds of things look like. Let's just look at a couple of scriptures here. I wanted to give you some examples. In 1 Chronicles 21, it just gives you a good example of how tricky the enemy can be and how quick we can be to just sort of fall trapped to these things. So if you look at 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1, it says, Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. So now, this might not seem like a big deal to you and me, and this is, I think, really important. It might not be in our household that we have a certain role, but in this household, David knew he wasn't supposed to do something, and he did it anyway. Does this make sense? It's really important. You and your husband, and if you're alone, if you need somebody, talk to one of the mamas in your group. If you need to establish order, figure it out, but whatever it is that you establish, you stick to it. You be strong in the Lord, and you stick to it. These are the house rules. These are what we do. This is what we don't do. If you waver on that, you look weak. And it is huge because God is a keeper of his promises, both bad and good. And in this is the part where it's, oh, this is the sad part about talking about obedience or disobedience. It doesn't make me feel good to have to pass this on to you, but it is the absolute truth. Look at what happens. So in verse 1, we see that Satan had incited David. There was pride that came from knowing strength was in their numbers rather than looking to God. See, God was trying to spare the people of Israel, but not by making them feel puffed up with their own numbers. And David was even warned. His servant said, but my Lord, they're all serving God. And he said, yeah, but I want to count them. And then the sad part happens where he's in deep, deep, deep distress. Go on over to verse 13. He says, I'm in deep distress. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great. But do not let me fall into the hands of men. Because you see, there was a consequence. David said, if you back up to verse 8, David said to God, I have sinned greatly by doing this. Now I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing. If you just take time this evening to read chapter 21, you'll just see it's a bummer. When you clearly understand that God has asked you to do something and you defy that, there should be a breaking. It's a good example of being broken. It's a good example of being repentant. It's a great example to read as far as like, no, don't mess up everybody. Don't slaughter everybody. Don't do this. But it does reinforce God's judgment and that it is real and that there are consequences. And it should give you a real desire to line yourself up with how God would have you want your family to be and not feel bad about backing up what you say, keeping those promises that you made. So now we'll move on to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. And again, you could just write these things down. I'm just going to go through these next ones really fast. Jesus learned obedience through suffering. That's Hebrews 5, 8. In Romans 1, verse 5, it says obedience comes through faith. In Philippians 2, verse 8, it says Jesus was obedient to death on the cross. In Romans 5, verse 19, it says, just as through though the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one, the many will be made righteous. In Proverbs 19, verse 16, it says, he who obeys instruction guards his life. There's a story I'm going to tell you. When the kids were younger, when we lived in Sherwood, they were just a couple of blocks from the school. So it was super fun when they were little to walk them. And we would just walk, you know, together. But I remember if this is the sidewalk and if over here's the street, I would always walk on what I called the kill side. And so that just sounds so like, why'd you call it the kill side? Because I literally didn't want them to get killed. I really wanted them to understand that these cars are not gonna stop and give my kids a break if they're over here goofing around. There's no second chances with a car. So I just thought, just gonna go right to it. It's the kill side. So I would hold their hand and we would do, mommy's gonna be on the kill side, taking one for the team, you know? And it was just the way it was. And Joey got to be older and he was able to walk Casey. And that was sweet. I have pictures, you know, and he would hold her hand the whole way. Casey, I'm gonna be on the kill side. And he would walk, you know, and do it. So it just was really it's a sweet memory that I have. It's a sweet season that my kids did. And I remember when the last one, you know, this is it. Last day that I'm gonna see them walking. You know, all that. Whew, it's hard. Ooh, it's hard having your kids grow up. Oh, because they're just so cute. But it is cool to watch the Lord bless all the effort. And you will be blessed. All of you will be. And hopefully you are. There's so many here that are have raised their kids. We've raised our kids together. And it's just it's so good. It's so encouraging. So we're happy to be here and help you too. So that's my kill side story. You know, kill side. Hey. But he who obeys instruction guards his life. You're guarding your life. if you look at those cars and you think they're sin, you don't want to be in the way of that. You want to guard your life from that. So that's just an active way that I put the word in to our life. 1 John 2 verse 5 says, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. I have a sweet little niece. Her name is Colby. She is so cute. All my nieces and nephews are so adorable. Colby is a little bit like me. She's like wiggly, you know? And so we were making Christmas cookies at my house, and Heidi had said to her, Colby, you need to sit still. And she was like this and just having a hard time, you know, and sitting. And I was right by her, and she was like kind of wanting to not do what her mom said and everything. And I was like, oh, this is so sad. I don't want to have like a consequence for her. We're having a good time, you know, with cookies. And so she was trying to gather herself up, you know, and kind of do her thing, but not really succeeding, you know. And I could tell Heidi was giving her what was going to be her final warning, you know. And I looked at Colby. I said, Colby. And she looked at me and I said, I feel your pain. I do. But come on. And so she thankfully just got right to it. We did the cookies, you know. But oh my goodness, what a cutie pie. Why did I tell you that? Because I'm back here. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is where we're going. Okay, she's young. She's maybe too young right now to figure this out. Like in my obedience, I am allowing God's love to be made complete in me. But that's really what it is. I mean, when you get older, you start realizing, wow, by like being a good citizen and by, you know, obeying the rules and by not speeding through school zones, I'm not hitting children and I'm being a blessing. God's love is being complete in me, right? Little Colby is learning that when I am told to not be wiggly jiggly, if I sit still, then that's helping calm things. That's showing God's love. You know, it's cool. You can raise your kids to be on these little missions, you know, certainly not self-righteous. We don't want pride. Pride is something God hates, but we do want kids to make an attempt to try to acknowledge and watch how God can be in them, and they can let go of their sin nature and let the Spirit within them move. It's just really, really sweet. So I'm praying for all of you guys on that and myself as well. So when we look at Romans chapter 5, if you guys want to go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 5, we're going to talk right now a little bit about just the beauty of reconciliation. And while you're turning there, there's a couple of things, just two or three things to remember why it matters to obey. For one thing, we did just visit that about God's love being complete in us. So it matters for us in our walk with the Lord, but it also matters to your children. It matters because they're watching you. They're watching you, what you do. They're little reflections of you. Our children are growing up in a world that is crazy, and they are looking to you to know how to actually live. That is a challenge of accountability like nothing else. And so it's really important for us to understand our walk with the Lord, how merciful he is to us, and not ever be afraid to come back and say we're sorry for our behavior. We you know, messed up. Thankfully, God takes us right back. But to own the responsibility for our actions. When your kids see you do that, when your young adults see you own the responsibility for your actions, they will listen much, much more than if you're kind of doing your own thing and just whatever, blowing off God, but then telling your kids to walk with God. That doesn't work. They see right through it. It's a total counterfeit to them. And that is really sadly why so many kids are just dropping like flies as they get into their 20s and 30s, not being in church. And I commend all of you for showing up and being in church and saying, I'm going to be making God number one in my life, and we're going to make him number one in our family. And God was going to reward that. But part of that is the system of communication that you have between you and God and you and your children. It is pretty amazing. The third thing why it matters is your husbands. And for those of you who are not married but have been through a marriage and are, you know, thinking that maybe God has someone for you, you've got to get this. Your husband is also watching you. In 1 Peter, it definitely gives a word for husbands that are not believing and to the wives why they need to emulate Christ. It's because that reflection is a testimony to that man. And we have men that are just completely being emasculated right now, so horribly, and yet they have this immense role in the family. So by us just blowing that off and not paying tribute to what God has done with the family, we're actually sabotaging ourselves. And we need to realize this. It's time for us to rise up and pay honor to what God has done within our homes and to make sure that that's replicated in your own children. It is what God has designed us to do. It's what he's given us to do. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been from, what color you are, nothing. It doesn't matter. There's no class. There's no nothing. It is Christ on the cross that has redeemed us, reconciled us. Judgment has been paid. And from there, we move out. For you to be able to raise your kids in that concept of reconciliation, of being reconciled to the cross, of being forgiven for sin, acknowledging their sin, is huge, especially in this day. The next 4 weeks after this, we're going to be getting into more and more nitty-gritty. We are certainly going to be talking about critical race theory. We will definitely be having to hit that because you are being nailed right now out there with this. Nailed. It's everywhere. It's in the workplace. It's in the schools. It was made illegal by the president, who's 10 hours longer, you know, to be our president. But people blew that off. You are going to have to come to grips with what critical race theory is, how it will impact your family if you do not bring the word of God into your situation. It's fundamental. If you do not do that, you will have children looking at you saying, you are an oppressor. I do not have to listen to you. Because that's the fundamental premise of critical race theory, is that everyone is a victim and the punishment is subjective to the group. And that is absolutely counter to the word of God. So that's our huge challenge as moms over the next few weeks. We just barely broke it open tonight with talking about obedience and why that matters, but then shifting over to really having to face what critical race theory actually is and how much that's bumping into us in terms of our own Christian doctrine. You have to face it. You have to. If you don't, you will not have reconciliation in your home. You won't. It will fall apart. And that in any society that has embraced critical race theory, in actuality becomes a Marxist society. And Marxism always ends in violence. It just does. So if we want the violence to stop, we have got to get this flipped around and understand and respect the roles that God has made and be super excited about it because you're free. We are free. Everyone actually is free. But right now they're just getting fed a whole line of stuff that's not accurate. It's not biblically accurate. So we have a whole world out there that is feeling dark and they're feeling broken and they are. And they're too afraid to say, am I the one that's broken? Because if I'm broken, then my whole thing is a mess, right? And you guys are raising kids that need to be able to really fully handle the word of God, to be encouraged. This is why I started this whole thing out with the creation account, for you guys to be able to be fully aware and fully confident in the fact that we are created beings, that we have made in the image of God, a built-in respect for one another, a built-in love for one another that God has given us. No one should ever, ever, ever take that away. The love that we should have for the brothers and sisters, the unity that we should have, is the mark of a Christian. And it is the most beautiful thing when it's played out. Do not let this current crisis that we have in the world of looking towards critical race theory to be the new savior, do not let that interrupt what God is doing in your life. Because what's happening in your life is beautiful. You have a home. You have beautiful children. You have a husband who is working. Hopefully, if he's not, let's pray. But, you know, you've got the thing going on and it's good. You know, it's reaping fruit and you're going to continue to reap fruit. Don't let the enemy steal that away. Don't let him do to you what he did to Eve. Has God really said? Don't let that get in there. Stop it. That's one of the best things about going to your husband. Had Eve done that, it could have been a different outcome. Go to your husband and say, did God say this? What does it actually say? Help your husbands rise up to the challenge of being the men in their homes. Don't push them away. Let's not get in the way of what God's doing in your husbands. Help them. Help them to come alongside. Let them weigh in. Follow their input. Take their lead. It's okay. There's nothing bad about it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the things you have done in our lives. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for reconciliation. I thank you that though we are sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Lord, you saw with Adam that his name had to be read. There wasn't any other option. We would need that red to cover us. God, I just thank you for your thoroughness. I thank you for your love for each one of us, for our homes, for our families. I thank you for our husbands. I thank you for the men in our lives. I thank you for sinners or not, all of us, Lord. We've all fallen short, but you love us so much. And now, Lord, as we break into our groups, I pray that you would just bless these ladies with time, help them to manage it well. I pray, Lord, that we would just keep in mind, Lord, the roles of revering, of really honoring our husbands, Lord, by not bringing up things that we should not do. But Lord, pray. I pray that our groups would pray tonight and that we would pray for our country and that we would pray for the youth that our kids will come in contact with. Make our kids strong. Build leaders in our children. Thank you, Lord, that they are salt and light. Thank you, Lord, that they can shine. Thank you that you fill us afresh each new day. Thank you for this evening, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.